Praise Jesus. And in that all-powerful name, in that name we come boldly. Thank you, Father, for your Son. Thank you so sweetly that you gave him so freely to us. Lord, thank you that he came to die. Oh, that we might live. Thank you, Lord, that you raised him. Thank you, Lord, that you seated him together at your right hand. And thank you, Lord, that he is anticipating a moment when you will say, okay, son, it's time to go get your wife. Now, Lord, we rejoice. We thank you for that precious plan. We thank you for this rejoicing time that, Lord, that when you sent him so many years back, Lord, as that baby in that manger, Lord, it wasn't a big fanfare and a triumphant entry like man would want to see. Lord, you made him the lowest of the low. You put him in a little manger. They couldn't even find a place for his head. And, Lord, you put him in that stable. Oh, God, thank you. Oh, what a Lord, what a King of Kings. Oh, the wonderful Jesus. Only you, Father, could do such a thing. Only your mind and your thoughts of divine love and grace could be magnified so. So as we gather, and by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Lord, let there be an anointing on this people today. Anoint us, Lord God. It's your purpose, it's your will. Let it just run rich upon us. May it be dripping from the beard as it was from Aaron. God, we thank you so much. We praise you for all things. May we magnify the beauty of the love of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd open up your Bibles with me, we're going to the first chapter of Matthew. And we'll read some of the passage of this sweet birth of our precious Savior. And that's Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. So, see, he didn't really understand this, and he was supposed to marry her, and here she is with child, and he is just thinking, well, what can I do? What is the right thing that I can do? You know how we get sometimes, well, what is the right thing that I can do? And we go pick up the Bible and what I can do. I know that never happened to you. But I'm in a situation and I got to know what I can do in the Word of God. Now, if you know anything about the Word of God, there's a problem right there with I can do. All right? And we're going to read about this precious dilemma for sweet Joseph and how he realized he couldn't do a thing. Praise God. But while he thought on these things, behold. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Wow, Joseph sure received something special there, didn't he? Did you notice? He called his name Jesus. Oh, what precious privilege and a wonder it is when we awake from our sleep and hear the word of God. And oh, how can we too call his name Jesus. Now this is beyond in here. And there's so many things in here. But today, just one little line. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You see, this wasn't just telling Joseph, well, you know, I put a child in her and you just go ahead and marry her. Now, I'm not going to say that that wasn't a miracle. We understand that that was a miracle. But let me tell you something. God had done many, many things throughout the Word of God and showed himself that nothing's hard for God. Whether it was raising people from the dead and giving different sisters children that could have no children. What about Sarah giving birth at 100 years old? Come on now. Nothing was hard for God. And in this, and as we will see, this word conceived here, it doesn't mean just, well, I'm going to put a child in her. This word conceived means I have placed in her the Word. I have placed in her, this conceived is the plan of God. She's got the Lamb. Okay. Now, this is faith time for Joseph. It is. And he was trying at this time to wrap his mind around something. And brothers and sisters, if we ever try to wrap our minds around something that God has brought to us, and by the way, God will always bring things one way to you, and that's by the Holy Ghost. Yes, and that's the truth. It's always going to come through that precious Holy Ghost. And the beautiful thing about knowing the Holy Ghost, if you know about the Holy Ghost, he'll only bring you one thing, and that's Jesus. He only speaks of and brings the things of Christ. He is there for one purpose, and that's to glorify. You'll read this in John, to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So praise God. But see, if we ever just try to get our minds around something, if we go in even to the Word of God and go in our own strength and our own mind to try to find why we're right, in a sense, well, how am I supposed to work this in my own strength? You know what I'm talking about. You've done this before, and I have too. And it don't work, does it? Because when we try to get our minds around something, brothers and sisters, what happens is we draw back in unbelief. We go in our own strength. We go in our own flesh. We go in our own thoughts. But if it's really faith that we want, brothers and sisters, we will quit thinking and just draw nigh to the Word of God. And that's exactly what the Lord was doing with Joseph and with the baby, with the Word of God that was in Mary. The representation here is Joseph, quit thinking. I just want you to draw nigh to the Word. Amen. And this is what this is speaking of. See, Joseph is a good man. Joseph here, he wants to do the right thing. He wants to do the right thing in a sense, maybe in the sight of God, whatever. But God, who is rich in mercy and in his great love through the Holy Ghost, he had something more than what Joseph even was looking for. Always, yes, he did. See, Joseph might have been looking for good. Maybe he even was thinking about acceptable. But God had all the perfect and complete will of God ready for him. And this is how God does it, brothers and sisters. And if we will just draw nigh to him in believing him, in trusting that even if I be otherwise minded, he will make that known unto me. See, this is what was going on. You're never going to be able to figure it out, brothers and sisters. Just as Peter said, Lord, thou knowest. He finally got it. He really did get something out of that. I encourage you to take it. Lord, thou knowest. I got to quit. I don't know a thing, but you know everything. And this is what's going on here. And God is encouraging Joseph. Joseph, I've got all the perfect and complete will of God. Just draw nigh to the Word by faith. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, these are the glory opportunities for a lifetime and of a lifetime. When God brings these opportunities for us, I'm going to tell you one thing about every one of these events. And I know many lives are going through these right now. They're not going to make sense. They're not even going to look right to your eye. They're not going to feel right. They're not going to seem right. But by faith, it's what will draw you near and deeper into the Word of God as you go through that unknown door. We talk about it many times, brothers and sisters. God not only is not going to give you a pitch for your sweet spot. I love how he encouraged me one time. I guess I'm just kind of an athlete in a way at heart and that type of thing. I love that kind of thinking. But he's not going to pitch to your sweet spot. Not only is he not going to do that, he's going to give you a doorway that you know nothing about, that you never thought, that you were always thinking over here, and God's completely over here. Oh, yes. See, we try to lay tracks and say, well, God, I'm going to trust you to run the train over my tracks. You don't got no tracks. You're going to realize that. Man has devised a way in his own mind, and that leads to destruction. It's a death thing, and it is every single time. Brothers and sisters, we live by one thing, and that's by faith. And I'm going to ask you something. Do your natural eyes see faith? Do they see that path? It doesn't work that way because it wouldn't be faith. Faith is something you cannot see, naturally speaking. Faith has to be, again, encouraged of the Spirit. And faith is in the love of God to your life. That's it. If you don't know an increase in the love of God to your life and how divinely and incredibly and immensely and perfectly he loves you, you'll never have truly all of the faith that could have been, again, built and grown in your life. You'll never go on to the heights that he has for you. You'll never go into the depths that he has for you. But it's all going to be in his love. To truly just accept and realize and fall upon that breast of his. That, Lord, you love me so sweetly and perfectly. I know you know the way I take. I know that these truly are before ordained good works that I, by the grace of God, I should walk therein. By the grace of God, I'm going to walk therein. I'm counting you faithful. I believe that you desire this for my life. I know that I am, hallelujah, my beloved's. And his desire is toward me. He's for you. For you to win his best. Completely. It is so perfected in our imperfection. It is so lovely in our unloveliness. But when will we finally let go and say, Lord, this is yours. And it's yours alone. Praise God. Now, these are the times that he draws us through the unknown door. Every life in the Word of God, every one of our sweet brothers and sisters, they went through these things. See, the Lord is never going to magnify flesh. The Lord is only going to magnify his Son. He's only going to magnify faith in God. And it's so wonderful of all of these examples, but time and time again, he draws my heart back to Abraham. And I thought of three precious instances of this precious unknown door for Abraham. You think from the very first calling for him to go out. And it said Abraham didn't know where he was going. He had no clue where God was going to lead him. But he went out. And you could hear everybody around him say, are you crazy? You mean, that's great that God's talking to you, but you don't know what God wants, so you're just going to leave? No, I know God wants me to go with him. See, I know I'm moving toward the Word of God, and I'm going out. I know that he knows, and I believe by God's grace, that's something I don't have to know. Because the one thing I do know is he loves me, and I'm going by faith. Then you think here, shortly thereafter, after he goes and the Lord increases him and there he's got his nephew Lot with him and things are starting to happen between their servants and all of the things that they have. And, well, you know what, Lot, you go ahead and choose which side you want and I'll take the other. Could you hear Abraham's, you know, the chirpers right there next? Abraham, you are the one that God called out here. This is your deal. You built this. You're the faithful one, not that Lot. You're crazy. Oh, no, he wasn't. No, no, no. I'm going to let the Word choose for my life. Who's choosing for your life? Really? Are you living the peace that passes all understanding? If you're not, you're not letting the Word choose for your life. Because you will not look, you won't look at the natural results. See, people are always into, well, what did it bring about, naturally speaking? See, we're measuring success by what we gain or are gleaning from this world. That's how man does it. God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. Oh, yes, he does. That's his wealth. That's his riches. People think that, if I made the right choice, that means it's going to be a very positive worldly outcome. The Apostle Paul then would have been the greatest failure that ever lived. He suffered the loss of all things. Oh, yes. Lord, help my unbelief. So here we go. He goes on and gets through these two. And he had many others. But I thought maybe the topper for his life in some respects. You're going to do what with Isaac? Now, wait a second. Now, Abraham, you know, we saw you just go out. And we saw you then let Lot make the choice. And you know, God did divinely lead you that way. You turn to the Word of God. But wait a second. God gave you the promise. You waited on this. He showed you the miracle. He gave you this little son. And you're going to do what? God can't be in that. There is no way that that ever could remotely be right, that you're going to offer this child back up to God. Oh, yes, I'm going with the Word of God. I'm going to draw nigh to the Word of God. And oh, what glory. Oh, how it magnified the lamb. The ram in the thicket. Hallelujah. And he called his name Jesus. Our life, time and time again. If we'll just go with God, he's always got the ram in the thicket for us. Always. The way of escape has always and already been made. It's always. And he called his name Jesus. Oh, it's wonderful. Now, hold me together, Lord. Here we go. Everybody got opinions. Everybody does. And the ones that are the closest to us aren't hesitant to share why you're wrong, why you're not doing right, how that could never, ever, ever be. Oh, I've had time to think of the Lord about Moses and some things the Lord's brought me into. And Lord has to, again, give me patience and grow me up. But I was thinking about how those Israelites standing there at that impassable sea with the enemies closing in on him. Moses, are you crazy? Go back and read that, how God divinely, he didn't take them through the land of the Philistines. He didn't take them this way. There were many ways that man would have thought getting out of Egypt. But God had one way, impassable. It was the only way that naturally was complete defeat. There was no way out. And you could see him moving out. You know, they're all excited. You know, here we're out. And man, now we're finally free from these guys. And you know, I don't know what some of the Moshe, whatever their names were, or whatever it was, you know, Joey. Isn't he leading us over here to the sea? Then you could kind of hear the murmurs, mumbling, mumble, mumble, rumble. And then finally, again, you just took us out here to die. You nut? Aren't you thankful that he followed and drew nigh to the pillar by day? That's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. See, it was always the Word of God. And here's Joseph as we go on. He's facing the same thing here. And here it is to Joseph. Son, I've led you this way. The angel of the Lord. And if you study out the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus. From the very beginning, back there in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, you'll study that out. That's Christ himself. And you'll notice that the phrase, the angel of the Lord, not an angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord, once Christ comes, you'll never see that phrase again, the angel of the Lord, because he's come in the flesh. Praise God. It's so wonderful. Just pay attention. It gets more exciting all the time. It really does. He's just, let's, by his grace, keep awakening. But here we go. You know, Joseph, he had a choice. And see, the choice was going to be, is it about self-preservation? Was it about reputation? Was it about image? Or was it going after the word of God? And this is something we really need to think about, brothers and sisters, in our lives, is what are my motives? Really, the depths. See, he's looking for that sincerity, that true worshiper that worships him in spirit and in truth. And see, are our motives to promote self? Are they to save self? Are they to help myself? Or is my life about faith and going after the word of God, no matter where it leads or what it costs? Because we know that, you know, the word of God, as we were rejoicing in Wednesday night, you know what? These temporal sufferings, these things we go through right now, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that is going to be revealed in us. It's going to be. Hallelujah. It's just a matter of time. See, brothers and sisters, this isn't a popular way. You go this way and don't you think that you're going to be commended of men or applauded, slapped on the back and say, man, that was great. Matter of fact, it's going to be the exact opposite. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be despised. You're going to be teased. You're going to be ridiculed. Matter of fact, just like Jesus Christ. Hello. You're going to suffer for his name's sake if you go this way. But praise be to God. Here we have Joseph. And I thank the Lord working in him. He chose the better part. He moved toward the word of God. That word, praise the Lord, was praise God in what was conceived in Mary. He moved towards that word. It was a hard choice in some respects, but it was the only choice. It was the only choice. It was so wonderful that he made that choice. And it was so wonderful if you look up the name Joseph. Again, how God so amazingly is beyond perfect. The name Joseph means let him add. Let him add. Now think of this. What was Joseph's first inclination and first response to do? He was going to go figure it out. He was trying to add up all these things in his mind of let me put the pieces together and add up what should be the answer. Joseph, all the time, I made you for this. Even your name, let me add. The only one that can do adding in your life is the Lord. The only one who can figure out anything in your life is the Lord. So you got to understand this. We're aliens here. If you're a son of God, you're not from here. You're alive. The other side of that is death. All right? And they're of the world. But Christ said that when we accepted him as Savior, we died and he came to live in us. And he's put us in this world, but we're not of this world. We're not. And I know that if you sit there and try to think about that in your brain, it's going to hurt you. It's going to mess you up. And a lot of different things. God didn't say to go and analyze stuff. He said, believe me. I get it. He's God. People can mock me. They can say whatever they want. They are even doing this study on, it's funny, these scientists said they thought it was going to be cute and tidy. Well, what was first, the chicken or the egg? Well, we know it was the chicken. And they found out it was the chicken. And then they started analyzing the egg, and they figured out from the egg that they couldn't even figure out how the egg's been made. And I just sit there and I think, my goodness, you're so stupid. Why do you try to figure these things out when God has already told you? Why are you trying to add or something up in your brain when God has revealed it to you? So, by his grace, brothers and sisters, as we close, don't miss it. We're going to be at this crossroad time and time and time again in our lives. And I just encourage you and pray for me. Every determining factor, or the determining factor for everything we ever will face in life, every decision, Is that path leading to more truth and love? Is the path that I'm ready to go forward in, is it more depth in the truth? Will this path truly lead to more Philadelphia Love Fellowship? Let's get on with this now. I'm not going to soft sell this. This is intense time. God has given you, praise the Lord, the message that his son will have a wife and he wants it to be you. These are the things that are magnified. And these are the evidence in her life. This is the one that truly, this is my first love. So, am I going that way for these things? Or am I going down this path because it leads to a more convenient way? Is this a way that is going to more self-preservation? Is it a way of ease? Is it a way of compromise? If it's any of those, I'll tell you one thing. The one thing you will always receive is leanness in your soul. It's the truth. Is what I am deciding, is it going to be for more truth? Simple, isn't it? Huh? Always remember Brother Hill sweetly saying that to somebody contemplating. And I want you to know this. You just can't put it in one mold all the time. Just like with Joseph, he was tried this way. Just like with Abraham, he was tried that way. Moses was tried this way. Rahab, all of these different ones. You're going to be tried in all of these different ways. But the answer is always the same. Is my life drawing to more truth? That's it. Well, there can be some good things, even spiritually good things. I can be drawing to Christians. I can be drawing to projects. I can be drawing to a lot of different things. But I'm going to ask you a question again. Is it going towards more truth? Joseph was trying to devise a good way in his head. Not only for his life, but even for Mary's. Well, I'm going to do this in a good way and figure this out. But God had the best for him. He's showing us there's a better part. And that better part, you'll never see it in your own mind. It'll be a very difficult way. It'll be a way that you'll be pressed out of measure. It'll be a way that'll separate you from people truly that have cared for you, that think highly of you, that maybe you've been very close with. But they're not going to understand that way. Draw nigh. Draw nigh and call his name, Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we again just see our need to truly let God. Lord, we thank you for, again, your immense love to us and your care and how your thoughts, you say, are more than the sands of the sea and more than the stars in the heavens. And Lord, that truly that you have bought us with the precious blood, with that price of the life of your son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are not our own, but we are yours. Help us to enter into that fellowship of the beauty of the Father and his sons. That Lord, that you have that time of waiting and the patience that you want us to draw nigh into the house of God. That coat is waiting. The feast is waiting. The ring. But oh my, the kiss. Thank you, Lord. More of your son. More of the truth. Thank you for dealing with our hearts this morning. Thank you for encouraging us into the beauty of the life and the blood of the Son of the Lamb of God. In Jesus' name, amen.